Welcome to Bible Chapter Every Day. I'm Matthew. Our chapter today is Zephaniah 3. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are great and powerful. You will accomplish your purpose. And you have planned the perfect ending for your story. Thank you for allowing us into your story. We know we don't deserve to be here. Amen. Zephaniah 3. Woe to you, O rebellious and defiled one, the oppressing city. She listens to no voice. She does not accept correction. In Yahweh she does not trust. To her God she does not draw near. Her officials in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They leave nothing until the morning. Her prophets are arrogant men of treachery. Her priests have defiled that which is holy. They do violence to the law. Yahweh is righteous in her midst. He does not do wickedness. Morning by morning he renders his judgment. At dawn he does not fail. But an evil one knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their strongholds are deserted. I have laid waste their streets so that none pass through. Their cities have been destroyed and are without a man, without an inhabitant. I have said, surely she will fear me. She will accept discipline, that her dwelling place will not be cut down, nor all that I have brought upon her. Surely they rise early, they make all their deeds corrupt. Therefore, wait for me, a declaration of Yahweh, for the day of my rising is a witness, for my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out my wrath upon them, all my burning anger. For by the fire of my anger all the land shall be consumed. Because then I will make the speech of the nations pure, that all of them might call on the name of Yahweh, to serve him in unison. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers and the daughter of my scattered ones shall bring my offering. On that day you shall not be humiliated on account of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me, for then I shall remove from your midst those exulting in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. And I will leave in your midst a people afflicted and poor, and they shall take refuge in the name of Yahweh. The remnant of Israel shall not do wickedness. They shall not speak deception, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall graze and lie down, and none shall frighten them. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion! Cry aloud, O Israel! Rejoice and be jubilant with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem! Yahweh has annulled your judgments. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst. You shall no longer fear misfortune. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion! Your hands shall not hang limp. Yahweh your God is in your midst, a mighty warrior who saves. He shall rejoice over you with joy. He renews you in his love. He will exult over you with singing. I will gather those of you grieving on account of the feast. They were raising against her a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change them from shame to glory and renown throughout the whole world. At that time, I will bring you in, at the time of my gathering you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the nations of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says Yahweh. Well, that's the reading. Let's dig in. In chapter 1, God talked about how terrible the coming destruction will be. In chapter 2, he called them a nation without shame and said they need to repent because he's going to punish these other nations. And then he proceeded to mention nations on each side of Judah and their coming destruction: Philistia, Moab, Ammon, Cush, and Assyria. Now, this chapter starts in verse 1 with, "Woe to you, O rebellious and defiled one, the oppressing city." He doesn't name who he's talking about right off, but then very quickly he talks about how they do not trust in Yahweh. And we can figure out he's talking about God's own people who should trust in him. He talks about several leading groups who are oppressing. He talks about the officials and the judges. He compares the judges to wolves. They're just tearing everything up for themselves. He says prophets and priests are basically also tearing things up for their own gain. But Yahweh is righteous. He is judging. Then Yahweh speaks and brings up how he has judged other nations, and Israel should have paid attention and repented when they saw how God judged other nations, but instead it seems that they also will have to be punished. Yahweh says he will judge all nations to make them all pure. People will come from remote places to serve Yahweh. And then this turns to a beautiful picture. They will forget their former wickedness, and they will be a humble people. They will not lie anymore. They will be like calm sheep with their shepherd. He says they should rejoice because Yahweh has forgiven them and removed their enemies, and Yahweh is king in the middle of them. Yahweh is a great warrior, but he is for them. He will gather the weak and helpless and make them great and powerful. And now for a deeper dive. The book started with total destruction, and the book ends with a complete turnaround. This is some great news. And I think we today are living in the beginning of this good news. Verse 15, "The King of Israel, Yahweh, is in your midst." I think that's fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is Yahweh, the King, come to earth to reign. And then verse 9, "Because then I will make the speech of the nations pure, that all of them might call on the name of Yahweh, to serve him in unison. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers and the daughter of my scattered ones shall bring my offering." Today, people from all over the world are turning to Yahweh, to Jesus, the King. But there is still something left to accomplish in this prophecy, I believe. By and large, the Jews themselves have not accepted Jesus as their king. And so, the fortunes of Israel are not really restored. I don't know how that will all play out, but I think God is more than capable of accomplishing the impossible and bringing about the perfect ending to his story. Scripture quotations are from the Lexham English Bible, copyright 2012, Logos Bible Software. Lexham is a registered trademark of Logos Bible Software.